They're gone, and Ben wanted me to continue his class, so we're going to do that. And we're going off his notes also. And for those of you that haven't been here, we're studying the apostles and just basically finding out all the information that we have on them when they were called and their surroundings of that, etc. Some, of course, we have a lot of information. Some we have almost none. But today, his next one he wanted us to do was Judas Iscariot. So I don't know if we'll get through all of the notes that he's got here. If we do, fine. If we don't, he can finish it next week. It's kind of the way we've been doing. So just as a little bit of introduction to Judas, there are certain people that we think about that when their name comes to mind, we always think of them. We always think of evil, or we think of that person with a bad reputation. What's some of the names that pop to mind when you think of a person like that? Judas, yeah, but other than Judas, what? Hitler, Jezebel,
Satan.
He's not a person, but yes. For some of us that are older, Benedict Arnold. Any teenager know who Benedict Arnold was? Okay, good deal. He was a traitor to our country. And how many people do you know by the name of Benedict? Probably not any, but there are a few, I suppose. But Ben, as he always does, has done his computer research. And so he comes up with, in 2014, there were 7,274 names more common than the name Judas. More common. And out of every man here in this building, our names are more common, of course, than Judas. You don't hardly know anybody by the name of Judas. And of course, as Ben has written here, he says it's even less common, or there's more people named Rufus, Otis, and Elvis than there are Judas. So that's a little bit of Ben for you. And he would present that different than me, but I'll present it anyhow. So the name Judas was very common in New Testament times. It was a Jewish name, and it is the Greek form of the word Judah, J-U-D-A-H, the tribe of Judah, or the name Judah. And there are several people in the Bible who are named Judas. Jesus even had a brother named Judas. There were two apostles. There was another apostle other than Judas Iscariot. Does anybody know who that was? You got a son with that name. Thaddeus Judas. But we don't call him Judas, do we? We don't attach that other name to Thaddeus. Why not? Probably because we think of Judas Iscariot. So, but during the time, or shortly after the time of Christ, because of the betrayal of Christ by Judas Iscariot, the name became unpopular, and many who had the name of Judas went by Judah, or changed it somehow, because they didn't want to be known as Judas. So, what do we know? What all do we know about Judas Iscariot? Well, the other part of his name, Iscariot, there's two theories or ideas of where the name Iscariot came from. One is that it came from a Hebrew word which means man of Kerioth. K-E-R-I-O-T-H. So if you think about that and you say that word Kerioth, kind of sounds like Iscariot, doesn't it? Now, I don't know if that's... Sometimes words are pronounced different by different groups of people, the same word. And it becomes a different word because people pronounce it different. I don't know if that's the case here with Iscariot or not, but it could be. Man of Kerioth, and we know that many people were called, you know, Jesus was also called Jesus of Nazareth. You're known by the town that you were from. So that would possibly make sense, Judas Kerioth or Judas Iscariot. There's also another theory, though, on the Iscariot name, and that is that it came from an Aramaic word meaning the liar. Now, whether or not what that word is, I don't know. And I don't think Ben had followed that up either. But there were two towns in the New Testament times known as Kerioth. So either way, there's really two names that we know Judas that we ascribe to Judas. What would those be? Judas Iscariot, and we also call him Judas the Betrayer. That's how he's pretty much known. What do we know about his calling from Jesus? You know, we know Peter and James and John were fishermen. Jesus walked by and said, "Follow me." They left their nets and followed him. Same thing with Matthew. What do we know about Judas, his calling? We don't know anything. We just know he was one of them. There's nothing in the New Testament scripture anyhow. Now, I'm not going to say there's nothing in history, but how accurate that would be if there is, I don't know. But as far as the Bible goes, we don't know anything about his calling. But we do know there were even Old Testament prophecies that he would be called or that he would be an apostle. We'll get into that in a minute. So did Jesus know when he selected Judas that Judas would betray him? Sure he did. Jesus knew the scripture. He also knew that before he ever came to earth, that he knew the plan of salvation. He knew that he would have to be betrayed, and there would have to be one to do that. So let's look at a few instances when Jesus, or when it talks about Judas as a betrayer. John 13, chapter 8, or verse 18 through 21. This was at the Last Supper. John 13 and verse 18. Jesus said, "I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he." He's talking about his betrayal and his crucifixion. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me." When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Of course, we have different accounts of that. Jesus also knew that he would be betrayed when he was praying in the garden. In John 17, verses 11 through 12. And this was after he instituted the Lord's Supper. They went out to the Mount of Olives to pray. And he prayed for his disciples. We have that long prayer in John chapter 17, when he prayed to the Father for to keep his disciples, his apostles, and he says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, his apostles, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." There's another name for Judas, son of perdition. And he knew before that, he knew during his ministry. In John 6, verses 70 and 71, Jesus said, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil, or has the devil, has the spirit of Satan. He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him being one of the 12. All right, question. If Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, why did he pick him? Why didn't he pick somebody else? There's a very simple answer, but there may be some more.
Well, he knew what his heart was.
Huh?
He knew his heart.
Okay.
He knew what he was. I think, you know, Jesus utilizes all types of people for his talk. And we know that the outcome, you know, there's key learnings from Judas for all of us. You know, was he perfect? No. Was there, you know, there's a lot of people, though, that are in the scriptures that we can learn from that Jesus used to him.
Right. Well, obviously, Jesus knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, knew they had to be fulfilled. But there's another thing we might think about, and kind of this goes along with what Eddie was thinking. You know, was when Jesus chose Judas, was he of that mind at that time? You know, there is a scripture that says Satan entered into Judas at the Last Supper also. So, you know, was it that he was always evil, or was it possibly that he was weak of character and Satan chose him? Mark?
I think there's also a fact to take note. Judas was with Jesus. He saw the miracles. He witnessed everything.
Yeah.
But he still turned his back on Jesus. And so I think it's the point of even if Jesus was among us, there would be some who would still turn their back on Jesus if they witnessed all these.
Right. Absolutely.
So that was just a basic lesson that, hey, regardless of what religious group you're in, there can be people, there will be people who rise up that will turn against you. Kind of like over in 1st, 2nd Thessalonians 3, that let no man deceive by any means, but that they shall not come except there be a falling away first, and then sin. We know I was talking about something different, but yet that happened.
I would say he was probably weak of character because even before he betrayed him, we know he was stealing from the money box.
He was.
With the.
He was a thief. We're going to talk about that. Yeah.
The woman he didn't actually want to get before, but when she broke the expensive oil, he knew that it was worth money. So we always seem to have money as a snare.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely a character flaw of Judas. Do you think that Jesus felt ill will towards Judas all this time before, when he knew he was going to betray him, and then after he did? Do you think Jesus felt ill will towards him, or do you think possibly Jesus looked at it from more of a heavenly perspective? You know, was it really about Judas and God, or was it about Satan and God? Judas was the tool of Satan. Satan used him, and Judas allowed him to use him to betray Jesus. But the real struggle was between Satan and God. And if Satan, as we know, could have kept God from raising Jesus from the dead, then Satan would have had the victory. But we know that that did not and could not happen. But definitely Judas was the tool, I think, of Satan. And Christ, I think he looked at that. He looked at that in that way, I think.
I mean, he still had, while he was God on earth, he still had a lot of the human...
Sure.
Emotions as well, the pain, the anxiety that he had before his death. So I would say that while he knew about Judas, he probably still very much agonized over the fact that he was going to betray him from a man and an emotional standpoint.
I guess what I was getting at is, do you think Jesus had the hostility that we might have? I personally think he probably didn't.
Realized that there was a mm-hmm. make his own decision. He would just have to be wrong.
I think he had compassion for us, just like he
yeah.
did. All those Jews, he looked at them and had right. compassion because they were being led astray. You know, and that's what happened to Jesus.
I think he probably had very similar feelings towards his own people in the city of Jerusalem and Capernaum. Because they rejected him the same. I mean, they crucified him. They put him to death. What big difference was there between... I guess the only big difference between them and Judas would be that Judas walked with him and he chose Judas. Mark?
In Matthew 26, in the latter part of verse 24, Jesus referring to Judas and saying, "Truly, I tell you, he had been good for that man if he had not been."
Yeah. And why would it have been good if he had never been born? Because his soul was lost, ultimately. Because his soul was lost. All right, well, let's move on. One of the reasons that Jesus chose Judas also was that he knew Scripture prophecy, Old Testament prophecy, would have to be fulfilled. And we have reference in John 19. We won't go through that. Let's go on to John chapter 12, the first six verses. One of the characteristics of Judas that was mentioned before, he was a thief. And this was this passage in John 12 is where Jesus is at Bethany at the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And Mary took this oil and says a spikenard of oil and anointed the feet of Jesus, and Judas just pretty much blew up, we might say, had a little fit. Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So here's a question. Jesus, knowing that Judas was a thief, why did he let him have the money box? Why was he the treasurer of the apostles?
Give him a chance.
Maybe. Yeah. He was definitely full of greed, though, wasn't he?
And on top of that, what's money to Christ?
Yeah.
I've heard somebody say before that they thought that Judas was just someone who took an opportunity. Even when he was betraying Christ, they thought maybe he thought Jesus was going to be able to get out of it, that he would get his silver and Christ would still be.
Well, there is scripture that kind of alludes to that he may have been thinking that, but
that's one thought behind it is that yes, he is a very greedy man, and he thought he could get the silver and Jesus would just
right
away like he always had before.
Right. Love of money. Okay, so we know that Judas did betray Jesus, and Judas instigated it. He started it. He took the first action, and what would that first action have been? You know, first of all, obviously, it's in your mind, or it's in his mind. If we do something evil, it starts in our mind. Then what's the next thing? There's an overt act. You have to actually do something, is what he did. Matthew 26, 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Does anybody know from the Old Testament what 30 pieces of silver would get you? What you could buy with that? A slave. Jesus was sold for the price of a slave. Just more types and shadows from the Old Testament. Here's something that Ben has in his notes that I had never really thought of. In Matthew 26, 6 through 13, the incident we just talked about, the perfume, where Mary washed Jesus' feet with the perfume, right after that, apparently, is when Judas went to the chief priest and said, I'll betray him. How much are you going to give me? So maybe that incident put him over the edge, as we might say. Maybe that was the for him the trigger for him to do that evil. Here's some prophecies from the Old Testament about the betrayal. Zechariah 11, 12 through 13. This is Zechariah, hundreds of years earlier. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, give me my wages, and if not, refrain. So they weighed out for my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. That princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord for the potter. And we'll talk about that in just a second. We all know about the potter's field. And as we mentioned, the price of a slave is in Exodus 31 and 32. If an ox gores a male or female servant, he shall give to their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned. So if you had an ox or other animal that would kill your slave, your servant, then you had to pay the master of that servant 30 shekels of silver for the servant because they were dead, and you had to stone your animal also. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but if that animal had been known to harm someone or been aggressive in the past, and you were the owner and you didn't do anything about it, and then they kill someone, I think you were to be put to death also, I think, or punished in some manner as the owner of that animal. I'm not sure on the punishment, but you were to be punished. Okay. So let's talk. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Yep. The scriptures are filled with ironic incidents, aren't they? Right. And Jesus would have forgiven Judas. We know that he would have.
Mike?
Yes.
You covered the one for John 12 there, and you alluded to also. But the statement is made there about the fact that he was a thief.
Yeah. I'm not sure I follow you.
The scriptures here lay out what kind of character Judas is.
Right.
But I feel like today that we tend to brush over things and not straight about people's character.
Okay.
And here we see very plainly this man's character being laid out. But we tend to try to brush over and ignore what we would never call someone a thief.
You mean Jesus wasn't politically correct?
Yeah.
No, he was not. And he was hated for it, wasn't he? But and even though he did it in a loving manner. Of course, these are Matthew's words. That statement is Matthew's words, but inspired words also.
Well, you have to ask the question, did the apostles actually, did they actually observe this or know that he was a thief? Because Jesus, the judge, the greatest judge of all, knew exactly what was going on, and so this is like to let us know, so to speak, after the fact, what kind of character he really was.
I'm not sure that they knew at this point he was a thief, and we're getting ready to talk about, we've got some information about that at the Last Supper, so let's go on to John 13. Verses 18 through 30, this is John's account of the Last Supper. And, I'm going to skip down where where Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and we are quite sure that that is John. The Apostle John. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. So Peter made this We might use it as, hey, John, find out. You know, a kind of a side gesture to John, because Peter, for some reason, maybe he wasn't that close to Jesus. Maybe he felt Jesus wouldn't answer him. Don't know. But obviously, John was not only physically closer, he was closer in spirit to Jesus. So Peter said, ask him. He makes the motion. So John says, who is it, Lord? Jesus answered, It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. This is what I mentioned earlier. Not that Judas wasn't already of weak or evil character, but Satan obviously took control at this time. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now here's kind of in reference to what Bob had to say. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Wouldn't you think that if the other apostles knew Judas was a thief, that they would object? I think they probably would. But they didn't. They just they didn't know. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So he left immediately when Jesus, no doubt, looked at him and said, what you're going to do, do it quick. And it wasn't go feed the poor. Dwayne? Yeah, I think they would have. Yeah.
But to Mark's point about being judgmental and everything, what was said, that statement was said by inspiration or by through the Lord. So
right.
He had all the facts. He knew who he was. And that's where we have to be careful. Those the apostles at that time, if they had said that, not knowing, just guessing, then that's what we have to beware of. Got to be sure.
Yeah.
That's passing condemnation. That's passing judgment. So we have to be very careful.
I wonder if Peter was on Jesus, because he asked John, and not very long after, Jesus takes him tonight, and on the water, Peter fell, and Jesus is continually saying, you will be faith. So maybe he was wondering, could it be him? And he wanted to know.
Well, what did they all say? They all said, is it me, Lord? Could I do such a thing? So they all had a little bit of doubt, didn't they? Even Peter.
You know, when you read this account here in John, you get this picture, this real obvious, the Lord tearing off a piece of bread, dipping it and going, here it is. You know, but I get the feeling that maybe the Lord had been dipping bread and dipping it for several of them, and who would have known, you know, I mean, he just makes a statement, it's to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. Well, he could have done that for all 12 of them.
Yeah.
And it's still been an accurate statement.
That's I don't totally understand this, because there's another book, another one of the Gospels, I don't remember which one, but it says, I think he says, it's the one that dips with me in the sop. And they had this bowl, obviously, a big bowl, and they would dip bread in it from time to time. I kind of think it might have been a timing deal. It was a chance deal. The other apostles didn't know. And, you know, when you eat some, then you dip a little more, you know, kind of what we call it, don't double dip, you know, and the cheese dip or whatever. But they were dipping in this gravy or whatever it was. Did Jesus tear off a piece and hand it to Judas? Did Judas have his own piece and they did it together? I'm not sure. But the one the account here in John says he gave it to him. So in any case, they did it together, and I'm pretty sure in my mind they had eye contact when Jesus said, "Whatever you do," or in other words, "When you betray me, do it quick." Okay, let's go on. Here's some prophecy being fulfilled also. Psalms 41 and 9. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. Okay. Let's go on to events in the garden. Judas doesn't come by himself. He brings the mob in John 18, verses 1 through 3. After the Lord's Supper and Jesus prayed, he went with his disciples over the Kidron Brook to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Judas figured he would be there, pretty much knew he would be there because they had been there many times before. And Judas had went to the chief priest after he had left the Last Supper and got the troops. He got a detachment, you might call it, and officers, and they came out with lanterns and torches and weapons, whatever, ready for battle. And the prophecy on that would be Psalms 55, 12, and 14. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. So this is reference to Judas being with Jesus for the 3 years of his ministry, after he called him, traveling with him, and then he turned on him. And we know that he betrayed him with a kiss. Proverbs 27 and 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Isn't that true? Okay, so what was Judas's, what was the attitude of Judas after he saw what happened? Matthew 27, verses 3 through 10. And this kind of goes along with what we mentioned before, the thought that some people, or the thought that Judas may have thought he could betray Jesus, get paid the money, and Jesus would simply vanish out of their sight as he had done before. They had tried to take him before and kill him. And he went through the midst of them or just vanished into thin air. Somehow he escaped. And I think it's very feasible to think that Judas had this thought. We don't know that, but anyhow, this passage, then Judas's betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And so then we have the self-righteous chief priest said, oh, well, we can't put this money in the treasury. This is the price of blood. What are we going to do with it? So they consulted together and bought the potter's field to bury strangers in.
What was wrong with Judas's confession in this verse? He made a confession. What was wrong?
Well, obviously he had no... he didn't have repentance. I mean, he was sorry.
He
did, yes. Yep.
If he'd really been sorry, like you said, he would have made it to God. I mean, he would, you know, the God or Jesus or of the rest of his...
Yep. That's very true.
You have Acts, the first chapter, 15.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to... Okay. Yeah, we'll get that here in just a second. And so the field that they bought has been called the Potter's Field or the Field of Blood. And then it was fulfilled, what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who is prized, whom they, the children of Israel, prized, and gave them for the Potter's Field as the Lord directed me. Hundreds of years before, one of the prophecies of Christ. What's the difference? What's the big difference in Judas and Peter, as far as doing something wrong?
Well,
We know when you think about Peter denying Jesus, okay, and Judas betrayed Jesus, what's the big difference after the fact?
Well, they both showed remorse, but Judas couldn't live with it. He didn't try to, he didn't try to make it better. He
right.
tried to end it. Peter, he prayed, he got back on his feet, he got together, he prayed with the other people, and then he, well, one was able to witness Jesus' resurrection, and then became the pillar, the rock.
Right, right.
I think that Judas's response to his sin is probably indicative of the struggles that he had in his life. The way that he responded to that sin, I think, shows it. And I, you know, it was, we've talked a lot about greed, but my question for him is like others, like Ananias and Sapphira, what's the root of the sin that they've got? It's, yes, greed's the problem, but what's causing the greed? And I think it, for him, is pride and control. He wanted to have, and he coveted, just like Ananias and Sapphira, and it ruined their lives, and it ruined and destroyed them, and it ruined and destroyed him. And I think that we need to be very careful about greed, because underneath that is pride, and the desire to covet and control, which is the same thing that ultimately, it was the first sin of the world, and that was Satan, not Adam and Eve. But Satan coveted what God had and wanted to be like him. Likewise, I think that Judas coveted and wanted what Jesus had and the power. And I just don't think that he could live with himself at the end. And
well, he took the easy way out. We know that, and he was not willing to face God, the Lord, or the other apostles.
But that greed had consumed,
right?
Pride had consumed him so much that you can't repent if you've got it controlling your life, like Satan.
His sorrow was for himself. He was sorry for what he had done. He was sorry for the situation he was in. Peter's sorrow was God's sorrow. He was sorry for the Lord.
Right. Right. Peter did have godly sorrow, and he turned his life around by faith and trust in God.
He truly repented.
He did.
And that Judas wasn't a God.
Right. I don't know that, you know, we'll never know because we can't read their minds, but how much different would Peter's mind, state of mind, been than Judas's? I mean, Peter knew Jesus was about to die. And right there, he said, no, I don't know him, three times. And Jesus looked right at him after the rooster crowed. You know, how much worse did Peter feel than Judas? I think it probably was quite similar. Okay, we're not going to get through all of this. But then we know, of course, that Judas did commit suicide by hanging himself. And that's mentioned in Acts, the first chapter, verses 15 through 19. Some information on that. Mark, did you have a thought that you wanted to bring out on that?
Just that, you know, that Peter at this point describes him. He didn't really call him by name.
Right.
But he just makes reference that, you know, that he was a part of him, and describes his fate as a result of his decision.
Right. And the only other thing I might bring out is, maybe we will get through it. You know, think about it. Jesus chose Judas. He was with them. And he was sent out as one of the 12 to preach that the kingdom was at hand. And he was given power to work miracles, as the others were also, back when they were chosen. So, Matthew 10, verses 5 through 8. Judas had these same powers and responsibility that the other disciples did. And so that shows us that even an apostle could fall from grace, could be lost. And he was lost. And we hear, and you know, we know Paul wrote many, at least once or twice, that how he had to keep himself in control, and or he could be lost. He would turn away if he did not daily keep himself under control. Okay, we'll close with that unless someone has another thought.